Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that because you're one of our amazing supporters on Patreon, and that's why we make this exclusive podcast for you.
Woohoo!
We just crossed 100 episodes of Geek History Lesson.
Oh my goodness, we sure did.
We talked about the West Coast Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not crossed 100 episodes of Geek History Lesson Extra.
We have not.
We have not. Soon. Next week, I think.
Pretty soon.
Let's talk about what some of our favorite Hawkeye stories are. And then I thought we'd talk about Hawkeye's relationship to leadership.
Okay.
What is your favorite Hawkeye story?
Well, there's a couple different Hawkeyes.
Is it the one named Hawkeye?
Yes.
Okay.
My favorite Hawkeye, that is Clint Barton's story, is I would say most of the Matt Fraction, David Aja stuff. I really like that story.
Most?
Yeah, I think there's parts where it gets a little self-indulgent.
I agree.
On Fraction's behalf. And I think if you read some of his other work, I think that he tends to do that towards the middle of his stories when maybe he's not sure what else to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still, in my opinion, one of the top Hawkeye runs. And I think that it reinvented the character and telling his stories in a really neat way.
Okay.
But then I'm a really big fan of Kate Bishop. And I have two Kate Bishop shirts.
Nice.
I think she's better in the Young Avengers stuff because for me, she's very much the like an equal to Eli as a leader of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that her.
I hated her when she first showed up.
Well, I had read her before I picked up Young Avengers.
Oh, okay.
They play a lot into her privilege when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you get a chance to see her grow into a really formidable leader. I actually think she would be, to jump the gun a bit, a way better leader than Clint.
Well, I'll save that. Okay.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite Hawkeye stories?
For me, there is no better Hawkeye storyline for me than the Kurt Busiek Avengers run, where he decides to quit and he leads the Thunderbolts. And then they cross back and forth because he doesn't like the way that Cap led the team.
Yeah, I remember when we were doing the Hawkeye lesson, you talked a lot about how much you liked it.
I like the Thunderbolts. The Thunderbolts, by the way, if you've never read the Thunderbolts is literally Kurt Busiek playing with the Marvel Universe. He takes these characters that shouldn't be heroes and kind of like plops them into every corner of the Marvel Universe and they kind of have to survive. So you think about it like, okay, it's the characters first because they're hiding the Masters of Evil, right?
Yeah.
Well, you learn that most of these people weren't really Masters of Evil, you know, quality. They just sort of followed Baron Zemo. Like Baron Zemo's like, we should do this. And they're like, sure.
All right.
I was kind of here for the paycheck, but okay.
$1,000 a week.
And then he tries to kill the world and they're like, oh, no, I live in the world. No. And then they're on the run. The next arc is that they're on the run. They're fugitives. They wind up in like Latveria and stuff like that. And then eventually, Hawkeye shows up. And Hawkeye, as we know in his history, he's taken on mentorship roles with West Coast Avengers, Great Lakes, and he also was a former criminal, just like all of them.
Yes, and he's very much, by that point, a reformed character.
Yes. Yeah. And he's been a former leader of the Avengers himself. So he takes it upon himself to turn them into like a great team. And I honestly think he does. There is an issue where his Thunderbolts fight Cap's Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big crossover. I think it's Thunderbolts like 25 or something. I'm completely misremembering this wrong. And if any of our patrons know, please let us know in the comments. I can't remember who wins, but I think it's a tie.
Interesting. I was one of those things where it's like everyone.
I think the Thunderbolts put on, and this is versus an Avengers team that has Vision, Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man, Thor, Iron Man.
Yeah. Scarlet,
and Cap.
Very powerful team.
Very powerful team. And if I remember right, they tie them. They force him to a tie.
That's really cool.
You know, and so like I love the Marvel just released the trade paperback of the first 10 issues of Thunderbolts. And I kind of hope they keep going through because that Thunderbolts run has never been collected.
Really?
Never. The only part of it they've ever collected is like they've done several trades of the first 10 issues. And the reason why they keep doing the first 10 issues is because the first 10 issues is where they're all villains and they're pretending to be heroes. And then in like issue 9, that's when the Avengers come back from the Heroes Reborn universe. And then that's when Barazimo is like, let's destroy the world.
Yeah.
So it's that conclusion of that storyline. But they've never collected the in-between times, I think they are doing it. I think they are doing a trade very soon that's Hawkeye and the Thunderbolts, and it's his run, but I want it complete. I want the in-between Hawkeye's run and stuff like that.
You want the omnibus.
I want the omnibus that stops right before they turn the title into a weird superhero fight club that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And they just call it Thunderbolts. But it's like, it's issue 76. It's literally issue 76. That you're like, oh yeah, it's now a fight club about superheroes. And you're like,
that's cool.
What? Doesn't, no. No. No, no. And also that was a great thing too, like, because that time period for me is the best of Hawkeye's period, because like his whole career, well, the reason I like that so much is because, like I said, it's the Batman thing. It's the reason why I like Nightwing the most. It's because Nightwing is the proof that Batman succeeded. In the Marvel Universe at that same time, Kurt Busiek, when he was doing his first 25 issues of Avengers, he also did a storyline called Avengers Forever.
Mm-hmm.
In Avengers Forever, it is about all these different heroes, Avengers, being pulled from different time periods. And one of the people that gets pulled in is Songbird. Now, Songbird is a Thunderbolt. At the time, was not an Avenger. Is still not an Avenger.
Okay.
And Wasp and Hank Pym were from present day. They were from Kurt Busiek's Avengers run. And they recognized Songbird. And they were like, but she's a criminal. But they saw that she was wearing an Avengers uniform. Mm-hmm. And to me, that proved that, like, oh, look, Hawkeye's influence worked.
Yeah, Hawkeye can change things.
And there were some cute scenes because they had a Hawkeye from the 70s,
mm-hmm,
who didn't have the purple consuit, and he was like really like a prick, basically.
Yeah.
And Songbird was like, wow, I can't believe you were the guy that led me. Like, she literally says that line. She's like, I can't believe that you are the guy that taught me how to be the hero.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and to me, it's that validation of that Hawkeye succeeds is the best period for me.
Aww.
So, I've never been a big fan of Bobby. I've just never liked Mockingbird, so I don't either. I don't have any nostalgia from then or now. I will say that the Matt Fraction run is really good. I think the current Jeff Lemire run, where Hawkeye is paired up with Kate Bishop, is such an interesting
dynamic. I'm really enjoying it, yeah.
I've dropped off. I haven't read it recently because they keep rebooting it because of Secret Wars. So, yeah.
And then waiting for Secret Wars to finish?
Well, it started back up again, but now
but it was supposed to be wrapped in September.
But now I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go hop back into that universe.
Yeah. So I feel that.
Let's answer the question real quick. I think everybody can tell what my answer is going to be.
Okay.
I want to know your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Put Hawkeye in charge of the Avengers. Can he actually do it?
No. I don't know.
Why?
I think that an important thing in a leader, I think you need a certain amount of charisma.
He has that in spades.
And
he's a circus performer.
It doesn't have to be showy, but you have to have something that makes people want to follow you. And for me, and the Clint Barton who lives in my head canon, doesn't have that.
Clint Barton is the slacker one.
He is.
The Matt Fraction
yes,
slacker
he
one.
Is.
Okay.
And he also doesn't really want to do that. But I would say, like, for me, Clint Barton is a character who's a great mentor,
mm-hmm,
but not a great leader.
It's so interesting because my Hawkeye, Clint Barton, is a swashbuckler. He's Han Solo.
Yeah, he's Errol Flynn.
Yeah, he's Errol Flynn. Like he leaps off the cliff without looking.
Yeah,
but he has none of the klutziness.
Yeah, mine's a quieter one. But like there's a really great scene in it's a backup story in Young Avengers where he's come back to life.
Doesn't he give her the bow?
He does.
He gives Kate Bishop his bow.
He meets up with Kate Bishop. He gives her his bow. He allows her to call herself Hawkeye because he's running around as Ronan at the time.
Yeah, he's dressed up as Ronan.
And he watches her shoot. And that's that little backup story, which is so well done, to me is what planted that seed where, like, if you give him something, you know, like small that needs taken care of, he can handle that because it's small enough for him to get his head. I don't see him as like a strategist or a planner.
Well, we just did the West Coast Avengers history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about his dynamic with that team?
Well, that team was kind of goofier.
Yeah.
And that team was kind of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
if you think by Hawkeye yelling fire and everybody showing
up. Here's the thing. I can't see Hawkeye leading like your Trinity, for example. Like I can't see Thor listening to what Hawkeye says.
Okay.
I can see maybe some, I don't want to say like lesser or B string or C string characters, but like there are certain characters that I think would follow Hawkeye and there are certain characters that I think would just tell him to like F off. Like Tony Stark wouldn't follow him anywhere, you know, for anything.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I don't think Tony Stark follows most people anywhere, even Captain America, but yeah.
No, but Captain America is like the one person he might follow, yeah. Or Rhodey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Pitch me why Clint Barton should lead the Avengers.
I actually don't think he should lead the Avengers. I think he should lead the Thunderbolts. He should go home to his team.
Oh, okay.
He should go home to his team.
He should go lead a bunch of ex-thugs.
They just released, they're doing a new Thunderbolt series, and they're mocking up the first cover, so it looks like most of the members are back. But it's Winter Soldier is in charge of them, which I don't know, but it's an interesting choice.
That's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting choice, but I still think it should be Hawkeye's team. Hawkeye's team, for me, again, like because of that Thunderbolts run, those 30 issues leading up to where Hawkeye took over prove that that's his team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where he belongs.
But I think he engenders loyalty, but I don't know if he inspires confidence.
I don't know about that.
In the way that, like, Cap would.
No, but he inspires confidence in a different way, but he leaps off that mountain and jumps off, and people are like, oh, you can do that. Huh.
Yeah, but he might hit the fire escape on the way down.
Well, sure. but one of those times, he's going to nail it.
That's true. And that's when you're going to be watching.
And you're going to be like, wow. Like, I can't believe he did this.
So would you rather see a West Coast Avengers, like, movie, TV show, whatever, or a Thunderbolts one with Hawkeye leading the team?
That's tough.
There's no wrong answer. It's your opinion.
Well, I don't think Thunderbolt should be hot. I don't like movie Hawkeye. I'm going to flat out say that.
I don't like movie Hawkeye either.
I don't like Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye. He's not Clint Barton to me.
But say like you're in charge and you can recast and do whatever you want, you know?
Eventually, yes, but it would be the sequel.
Yeah.
So if we did Thunderbolts. If we did Thunderbolts, I almost think Thunderbolts has to be a TV show.
Yeah.
Which is rough. But I think the first season is the Baron Zemo being, we're crooks, but we're acting as heroes and convincing everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think season two is Hawkeye.
I also think that would be a great like team building, like cooperative game.
A Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Because you could put in like some of the more like quote extreme characters because yeah. They're supposed to be like bad guys kind of.
I think West Coast Avengers would be a really funny spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it would be a way to like maybe do the Defenders,
yeah.
But still call them Avengers, or like to do any of those other little teams that you want to do and call them Avengers. Like,
I'm actually surprised that they went with the name Defenders instead of like something something Avengers.
I don't know. Interesting. I think they wanted a different title.
But branding.
You know, I think they wanted a different title. And Defenders sort of is a brand that you sort of know.
Yeah. Heroes for Hire is a better title, though.
Heroes for Hire. Well, you know, I also wonder, too, if we're in this venue of that sometimes these titles that I love and are really cool maybe are a little silly. Like, West Coast Avengers is a little silly.
The names heroes, of most of these heroes are pretty silly.
Yes, but the names of most of these heroes aren't going to be plastered over on a poster.
Like Ant-Man was.
Yes, Ant-Man was, but Ant-Man, they leaned into it.
Yeah.
They didn't call Luke Cage Power Man.
No.
His show's going to be called Luke Cage. They didn't call Jessica Jones Jewel.
Although, in defense of the Luke Cage choice, there have been other people who've been Power Man. And
but he was the first.
Yes. But I would argue that more people know that character in the modern age, and even in the comics, as Luke Cage. Like, even in Civil War, no one calls him Power Man, like in the book. Everyone calls him Luke Cage.
No, I know. And that's why I think maybe Heroes for Hire will actually be the Defenders.
Yeah, it will.
You know, it's just because Heroes for Hire is a little silly. I love it.
I love it, too.
But it's silly.
I love the alliteration of it,
too. Yeah, it's a really great name, but it's really, really silly.
I think the Defenders, too, would be a great team to put Hawkeye on. I mean, I know he's like a movie character now,
mm-hmm.
but I just think he'd be really fun with like,
you think
with like Luke and Danny and... And then, like, if you're doing the super angry Jessica Jones that we have now...
He definitely fits in with that team a lot better than the Avengers.
Yes.
He really does.
And among the skill set there, like, he would be a very valuable asset.
Yeah.
You know, like, you literally have him be your scout from above.
He would be the team leader.
Yes.
Of that team.
Oh.
Although, Matt Murdock would not like it.
Huh. Oh, maybe Daredevil.
Murdock would fight him on it.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, Murdock would fight him on it.
Yeah, Hawkeye would have to prove his mettle.
Hawkeye would be the team leader. He would dominate, but Murdoch, out of all of them, would Matt Daredevil would give him so much grief.
Matt would hate him.
Yeah, Matt would hate every single bit of him. He'd be like, he's not taking us seriously. He keeps wanting us to go to barbecues.
Yeah.
Like, he never washes that apron that he wears to barbecues. It's soiled with grease.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be so funny to have like two disabled characters on one team?
Yeah, because Hawkeye's deaf.
He's hard of hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. There actually is I didn't bring this into the Geek History Lesson, the full lesson, in the first issue of West Coast Avengers. No, the second, where they're training against Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
They knock Rhodey out of the sky by Hawkeye shooting a hypersonic arrow. And he's talking to the team like normal.
Because he can't hear it?
Yeah, because he can't hear it. And Bobby's like, can you please turn off this arrow?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, that's a nice little wink.
That's that's one of the reasons why the Matt Fraction run, circling back to the beginning, will always be endeared to me, because that was an aspect of him that they very much leaned into. And there's an entire issue that's all in sign language and all in fingerspelling. And if you know American Sign Language, you know the alphabet, like, there's dialogue there. Like, I just think that embracing that aspect was very genius. And it's something that I wish the movies would lean into a little bit more, especially because the discussion about representation is so loud right now.
Well, and especially since the Avengers are all Whitey McWhitersons.
Yeah. I mean, for real. Though.
I mean, the new Avengers aren't, because we're getting Falcon and Rhodey, but like, it took us two movies to get there.
It took us two phases to get there.
Yeah. It took us two phases to even get one person of color on the Avengers.
And we still only have one lady, so...
And we still only have one lady. No, we have two. We have Scarlet Witch now.
But she's
also a white lady.
She is also a white lady, yes. I mean, you can call her, like, Eastern European all you want. Yeah. That Olsen girl is white.
It'd be interesting. Yeah, it would be interesting.
I mean, even if you showed
it'd be,
it, like,
it'd be tough to portray. I think all you have to do is do a scene where you show him putting the hearing aids.
Yeah. Or you see his hearing getting damaged. And then, like... I'm not saying every scene has to be in sign language, but if you had like one little exchange between like him and Natasha or something,
mm-hmm.
and you would just put some little captions.
Oh, in sign language?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like if she's like, are you okay? Like when they're fighting and he's like, yeah, I'm fine,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
well,
something
think,
like that.
I think you could do an amazing scene where he gets hit hard and his hearing aids go out and he can't hear anything.
And you do the thing where you see you hear the really muffled sound, like after an explosion. Yeah.
You know, and you just see him looking around and he's still able to do his job. And then you see like Rhodey or Falcon come up behind him and they're like, dun, 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 dun. You can tell they're yelling, but we can't hear it. And then you see him put it in back in. Like
and it's like covered in dirt.
And then it comes back in. He's like, hey man, I've been telling you what's going, you know, and he's like, what, you know, he's like, sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
And then you can do the joke where he's like, what are you, deaf? And he's like, kind of,
yeah.
And he's like, oh,
yeah. You
know, I think that would make the movie version more heroic.
It would. And I think it would, not to talk too much about the actor, but I think it would give Jeremy Renner something more interesting to play.
Yeah.
Than what he's got.
Exactly. So Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
We're going to make that happen.
Okay.
Cool. If anybody wants to send me the Thunderbolts trade paperback, just saying. No. You guys do enough because you support this podcast. And that's all we need. Guys, thank you guys so much for listening. This podcast happens because of the support over you guys over at Patreon. Hopefully Geek History Lesson Extra will come to 100 episodes, just like the 100 episodes of Geek History Lesson Extra. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for your support. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Be seeing you next week.